640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. More canceled flights on Southwest Airlines today after nearly a week of misery for thousands of passengers. A lot of folks are vowing never to fly Southwest again, but CBS's Peter Greenberg tells us why they could change their mind.
Southwest is still considered one of the more efficient and dependable airlines. At the same time, and even despite this airline meltdown, most passengers are still driven by price. And once Southwest gets its schedule back on track and can maintain low fares, if history's any indication, most of the passengers, even the angrier ones, will probably return.
Southwest has had trouble recovering after the storms, but expects to return to normal operations tomorrow. The weekend blizzards proving more deadly now in Buffalo, New York.
The Erie County Department of Health Medical Examiner's Office confirmed two more deaths associated with the blizzard last night. There are additional bodies that have been received that are believed to be blizzard deaths, but they do need to have an autopsy and additional work done.
That is Erie County Executive Mark Pollenkars. He fears the number will go even higher as snow starts to melt. Russia launched dozens of missiles this morning across Ukraine, but Ukrainian officials say it shot most of them down. CBS's Ian Lee has the latest now from Kherson.
A Russian shell demolished the house of Tamara Breshin. Her son was inside. She scoured the wreckage looking for his ID so she could reclaim his body from the morgue. Why Russia shells Kherson is hard to tell. Nothing they hit appears to hold military value, just innocent civilians trying to survive.
Dozens of children have been hospitalized in Ohio with measles, but pediatrician Dr. Sharon Dillon tells us this is preventable.
These are very safe vaccines. The measles vaccine has been available since 1963 and has really had to be changed very little since that time. So we have decades worth of data showing how safe they are.
Some of the infected are unvaccinated babies. A pharmaceutical company is accused of fueling the opioid epidemic. Here's CBS's Rob Legary.
The Justice Department is suing pharmaceutical giant AmerisourceBergen, alleging the company and its subsidiaries helped fuel the opioid epidemic for nearly a decade by fulfilling and failing to report hundreds of thousands of potentially suspicious orders, many of which were connected to allegedly illicit drug markets. The complaint filed today accuses the company of violating federal law by allegedly ignoring red flag alerts that would have prevented the sale of pharmaceuticals to suspicious buyers.
More than 109,000 people have died from drug overdoses this year, most from opioids. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3960.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Wisconsin's most powerful state lawmaker isn't mincing words while explaining his decision to remove Janelle Branch and his chair of the Assembly's Elections Committee. Speaker Robin Voss tells Channel 27 in Madison that Branch is no longer qualified for the job. Branch had used the committee as a platform for conspiracy theories about the 2020 election. She even issued subpoenas to local election officials that appear to include language from similar subpoena efforts in other states. The Wisconsin Lottery says this year's ticket sales helped cut property taxes by about $213 for each household. That's down from last year's $230 lottery tax credit. Some people may see a little more or a little less depending on their local school district's tax rate. In sports, the Bulls beat the Bucks last night 119-113. You're listening to The SHA, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Do you love getting rewards when you shop? Then shop Knucklehead CBD and Vapes with the Knuckleheads Club. Every $10 spent gets you closer to 25% off. No matter what you buy, make sure you buy Knuckleheads. Stop in Saturday and Sunday and get 15% off Wellness and Wellness Plus, including Delta 8, THCP, CBD, and more, while getting points towards your next purchase.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue or online at knuckleheads.shop.
Knuckleheads CBD and Vapes, your one-stop smoke shop.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Fields in the spring, the turn from green to that harvest honey. Hold one up for the banker downtown. They got him on his feet with handshake.
Welcome back to Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And a reminder that you can listen to it later as a podcast, either on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or on Apple or Google Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you find podcasts. And so thank you for listening, either live or later. And so our guest for this half hour is a listener himself and reached out, and I appreciate you always your feedback. And one of the things that you thought would be a good topic, and I also think is a good topic, is sustainable agriculture. And so our guest is Tom Crofton, who is a retired carpenter but currently a small grass-fed beef farmer. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate your new channel for us down here in Richland County.
Yeah, absolutely. So over there, where the news radio from the center is the station over there. So really appreciate being able to reach that part of the state. And so let's start from the beginning, because this is obviously a big agricultural state. It's always been a big agricultural state. But what is the definition and how does it differ from other types of farming when we're talking about sustainable farming?
Okay, we have to look at the history where it used to be family farms up and down all these little valleys. We're in the Driftless area. My valley is about 5 miles long, and in the 60s, there were 55 small dairy farms here. They supported an economy of department stores, hardware stores, grocery stores in our small village, where our town, Richland Center, hasn't grown at all in 100 years. And the population of the county has actually stayed the same. But now there's no dairy farms in our valley.
Really?
There's a few large dairy farms. And if you look around the state, we make more milk now than ever before with fewer people doing it. So you can say that's okay in terms of industrial efficiency and stuff. It's not good in terms of the local economy and way of life and all that. So I'm one of those back to the landers. I grew up in a big city and bought some land out here. We came here, there were still probably 15 or 20 dairy farms in the late 80s, and now there's none. The last barn burnt down a couple years ago, a tragic kind of fire, and everyone else has gotten old. So we grow beef, and there's a lot of retirement homes being built on all these beautiful hills. A lot of the fields are turning into weeds. And so sustainable ag is a discussion of not just how you do ag, but how you grow a rural society. And that's what I'm most interested in. And if we go back to industrial ag, back in the days of, say, when they built the Boulder Dam, they start irrigating large parts of California. I don't know if people realize it takes 1 gallon of water to grow one almond. So you got these miles and miles of almond, which was taking water out of the Colorado River, which now no longer has enough water. So that's not sustainable. So a good definition of sustainability is what's the carrying capacity of a system? So if you talk about either a biological entity, a group, a herd or something, or you talk about a society, whatever, there's certain things you can do up to a point and then you start hurting yourself. So a small rowboat has a certain kind of capacity. If you overload it, it sinks. There's a great book written on this by Jared Diamond called Collapse. And he discusses either societal collapse or population of animals collapsing in a certain area. based on overpopulation and all. And just the one-liner out of that's so good. He was teaching a university class, and they were talking about Easter Island. There used to be trees all over it, I assume palm trees. And right now there's almost none. And one person said, what was the last person thinking? The person thinking who cut down the last tree.
Hmm. Oh. Tom, we might have...
That's how you can make a canoe to get off the island, right? What are we trying to give to our next...
Oh, you broke up for just a second. And so what was that?
I'm sorry. So the question is, what are we doing to ourselves if we're wrecking our environment for our children and grandchildren? Do we break up?
No, we can hear you. So I'm interested. So in the idea, just to get more of the history and the definitions down. So before there was more of these big industrialized farms in Wisconsin, would you say the original way of farming when there were so many family farms, is that considered sustainable agriculture? What was?
I think we lost him.
We've got a really bad connection. I'm sorry.
Well, that's fine. Well, why don't we, if you could get his phone number off air, and maybe if you just call in on the phone, that would be better than, because right now we're doing it via Zoom. And so if we can figure out quickly how to get you on the phone instead, because sometimes, I mean, this is, goes back to broadband, right? This is the problem, not only just with sustainable agriculture in Wisconsin, but in lots of parts of Wisconsin, the broadband internet connection is not great either. And so,
Tom, you can call us at 844-967-2789. So just give us a jingle at 844-967-2789, and then we can go over the phone instead. As you said, Kristen, broadband, this non-reliable broadband is an enormous issue for people around the state. And I think for those of us who do live in urban areas or close to urban areas, I don't know that we appreciate just how impactful that is and how limiting it is if you can't rely on your internet connection.
I think it became the most obvious during 2020 when everything was happening from home, that you couldn't do schoolwork, you couldn't do your job. Like, if you don't have a reliable internet connection and you're trying to participate and you can't do it in person, it is a huge problem. And so do we have Tom on the phone now?
No, we do not.
Oh, okay. I would say the broadband is one of the, and I feel like it's one of those things where it comes down to grants and it comes down to who's going to put the infrastructure in to make it better. Where's the money coming from? But the opportunity is hugely there. And I think there's a lot of people who would really, really benefit from it and really like it. And so I think we now have Tom on the air. And so we're going to be able to talk more about sustainable agriculture with Tom Crofton from the Driftless region. So, Tom, are you there?
Yeah, hello.
There we go. All right. So repeat what you said before when we broke up.
Well, what I was saying is that sustainable ag relates more than just agriculture. It's how you deal with the whole community and the jobs in town and all that. We used to have four or five grocery stores. Now there's not one grocery store in town. We've got a Walmart way out of town a ways, and so on and on. So those are problems, and the original farming was a very diversified thing. Now, I'm not saying everything was perfect, and it's not a question of going back to the old days, but when you raise a few chickens and a few hogs and some beef and some dairy and all that, the waste from the kitchen goes to the hogs, and the chickens run around and eat the bugs off the cattle, and all this stuff works out in an ecological system. As you break that down, turn it into industrial ag, you're using chemicals and getting rid of all kinds of wildlife and the famous silent spring of the use of DDT, getting rid of the insects and the birds and all that. Sustainable ag is talking about what are we going to do to make sure that we can continue doing what we're doing for a long time. And a lot of it has to be changing what we're doing. It's not just finding a way to do what we're doing better. It's really analyzing what the heck we're doing in the first place.
Tom, 50 years ago, was there the same pressure as there seems to be now to keep growing? Everything, at least from my understanding, is you have to get bigger. You have to have more cows. You have to get bigger and keep growing. Is that sustainable?
No, it's not. And here's the problem is that you get a tractor that's twice as big, it gets rid of one job. But are you making more money? You're not making two incomes. People, you know, I feel sorry for conventional ag folks that have $1 million worth of land, $1 million worth of equipment, spend $700,000 a year on inputs, and make a middle-class income out of it. I mean, that's, you wonder why people are politically conservative. That would make me really conservative. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking about what's a better lifestyle, I'm not talking about everyone going back to using the mules and 40 acres and all, but you can grow a lot of food locally and not be bringing it in from California. We're taking strawberries from Chile and putting them on 747s and bringing them across the world. That doesn't make any sense. We can't keep doing that.
So just so when you think about when you're think your definition or maybe shared definition of sustainable farming is it's as much about the methods used on the farm and whether that's the pesticides, whether that's the machines, whether that's the size of the land. And it's that, but it's also about the larger community and what's sustainable for populations, what's sustainable to actually, give sustenance, provide local resources and food resources to communities. And so it's more about the system and its impact on an entire community than just the tactics on a farm.
Right. And then it comes down to what you're actually doing locally. Now, we have a small farm, and we're like, in a way, a laboratory. I'm not pretending that I'm the world's greatest farmer, but on 40 acres of fields, if we divide them into 40 paddocks and we let the animals go every day on a new paddock, we're solving all kinds of problems that if you had them sitting in a dirt lot, they would require machinery to bring them food and machinery to remove their waste and spread it and all that. And if we're letting them do it ourselves, we're just opening a gate and letting them in the next place. So that's one version of sustainability. Another one is when people just let their cattle out in a large field and spend all summer out there, the animals go around and pick what they like. And what they like is the stuff that's real fresh growing. So the best species that they like to eat, they'll nibble down to the ground and they leave all the weeds. And I can show you pictures of places where it's just tons of thistle and stuff and the animals are eating around them. Where we don't have any of those weeds because we clip the heads off before they go to seed. All the flowers of the weeds, we clip them off and the animals eat what they want. We get them out of there and everything regrows. So there's techniques to use sustainable methods to get the kind of outcome I'm talking about that don't require quite the input investments of machinery and certainly chemicals and all that.
And when we come back from break, that's actually one of the things I want to get clarity on as well, is what does grass-fed actually mean and how much better is it for us versus some of the other beef and other animal products that are full of things that are not necessarily good for us, but sometimes cheaper. And so Tom Crofton is our guest. He will still be here when we come back from the break. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Somehow they get closer when times get harder. Here's to the farmer. Yeah. Here's to the farmer that loves his day in the sun. Won't sell that old half ton. Nobody knows better about a hard earned dollar. Just tell him how far he's gotta go, and he'll go farther. Here's to the farmer.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Slight chance for scattered rain showers this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 55, winds out of the south 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered rain showers again tonight. Lows level off around 32. Cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 38. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
My tractor sexy, it really turns her on. She's always staring at me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for tuning in today. We have three segments left until our end of 2022 for this show. Our guest this half hour is Mr. Tom Crofton, who is a small grass-fed beef farmer, and we're talking about the benefits and why we should be supporting sustainable agriculture. And we were talking about before the systems and how it feeds communities, and it's bigger than just methods used on the farm. But we ended with some of the grazing techniques that you employ on your small grass-fed beef farm. And one of the things I always think about is how our food, especially in this country, is part of the reason we're sick. It's part of the reason we're obese. It's part of the reason that we have the health outcomes that we have because our FDA regulations and what can go into our food is much more lax than it is in a lot of other places. And one of those things is also how our meat is grown. And what is it about a sustainable agriculture methodology or mindset when, I guess, is the word growing beef? I don't know, of being a rancher, having meat or any animal really that is going to eventually be killed to eat, but is in a more sustainable way and in a way that's not actually bad for the person who's going to eat it.
There you go. I just refer you to the movie Super Size Me if you want to get that in space. It's an incredible story. But what we've gone to is industrial ag, where we're dealing with the chemistry but not the biology so much. And specifically to answer your question, the fat of corn-fed beef there's a lot of it. And if you cook a hamburger from the grocery store, you'll have a half inch of grease in the pan. Our meat, there's just a tiny little bit, almost nothing. And the thing is, you need some fat, and that's what makes the stuff tender. So it's called marbling. And when you hang a carcass, if you cut the 13th rib, you open up what would be the T-bone. There's a picture of different grades where little white specks are on there, and that's how they grade what kind of grade your meat is. And with grass-fed, it's harder to get the marbling that makes it really tender. So the very best feed makes the very best meat, and it all works out really good. Our animals walk all over to eat. The animals in pens stand in one spot, and they eat a lot of corn. And the problem with that is that their stomachs aren't designed for corn. They're designed for grass. And so the corn is actually making them sick, almost like that guy in Super Size was getting sick from eating all that grease and fat that he was eating. And that's the issue, is really what the animals are eating. The animals will go around on the grass field and pick the parts they like. If you stand them in one spot, they have to eat what you give them. And there's actually the dust from all the manure blowing around and everything like that that's making them sick in their lungs. So they're actually on a high cholesterol diet. They're essentially getting sick while they're standing in the feedlot.
Oh, that's so interesting. So I guess because we only have a couple more minutes before we have to let you go, but I guess as consumers, So I'm not a farmer. Jane is not a farmer. And I would imagine, as you said, there's less and less family farmers in our state. And yet, I think when you hear the arguments for supporting smaller family farms, sustainable agriculture, besides cost, when it comes to these big industrial farms, because obviously that can drive down cost, but it's not necessarily helping our communities. It's not necessarily making us healthier. And so as consumers, non-farming citizens, I guess, first, how would you suggest we change our buying habits when it comes to food? And also, what is some of the legislation that could happen to support sustainable agriculture?
Yeah, I think a lot of the state's policies towards the rural area are really short-sighted, and that's a whole other conversation. But the broadband we mentioned earlier, we've got the new fiber optic a mile from our house, and won't be here for a couple more years. There's issues about all that stuff. But in terms of the actual food itself, there's a lot of CSAs. There's a lot of small people that deal direct. There's the farmers markets. It's all real good. We've been, for many years, the organic movement made a lot of different alternative marketing possibilities. We're part of a co-op that sells to restaurants and even the individuals on a website called Wisconsin Grass-Fed Beef Co-op. There's Crop. Organic Valley has their Pasture Prairie, I believe it's called. All these things are all good. What I want to just explain quickly is that animals such as hogs can eat corn. Beef aren't really supposed to. All of our dairy and all of our beef could be grass-fed by small farmers and make a lot more jobs, a lot more economic activity in the rural areas and really revive. This land shouldn't be plowed up. It's too steep. And people go all the way up the hill plowing things up. We go into great detail about that, but for the most part, the choices are there. And I know that the dollars are weird, but the regular conventional farmers are fighting a commodity scene. All the money for regular farming is going to the commodity markets in the big cities. The farmers aren't making any money on this stuff. They're barely getting by.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, all right, so farmers markets, trying to buy local. I know my mom at one point, I actually think it's a good idea, is the opportunity to buy either a whole cow or a half a cow and then keep it in your chest freezer for the year and be able to just know exactly where that meat came from because it came from one cow and you know what farm that came from. And so opportunities like that. Is that something that your farm does?
Yeah, we share with some friends. We haven't gotten real big on it because it's kind of a hassle by itself. That's what's nice about the marketing co-op. But we sold part of an animal to a friend, charging what we would have got wholesale through the co-op, and added the local processing. There's all these small lockers around that cut things up for you and do all kinds of good things with it. And their price per pound on the average was $3.85 from hamburger to steak. And we weren't trying to, you know, take advantage of them. But that was our cost plus the local cost. And that kind of meat is $7 or $8 a pound. And I've had hamburgers in Madison that are $16 for a hamburger. Yeah. And I even make better ones here. That drives me crazy.
All right. Well, Tom Crofton, thank you so much for teaching us more about sustainable agriculture. Thank you for listening. And we'll catch you next time. Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Bye, Rick.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour. And when we come back, some of our predictions might be a strong word, but at least I am going to talk about Nostradamus' predictions for next year because it's a little bleak. So hopefully it's better than what he expected. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Southwest Airlines says after thousands of canceled flights, it expects to return to normal operations tomorrow. Corliss King with the Flight Attendants Union on those cancellations.
Something that we have consistently pushed management for is improvements in our technology.
Erie County Executive Mark Poloncar says Western New York slowly returning to normal following that powerful winter storm.
Power has been restored to all Erie County residents. I want to thank the men and women of National Grid and NYSEG
for the work that they did to do that.
At least 39 people killed in that region. Russia has launched another major attack on Ukrainian cities.
Major cities such as Kyiv, Kharkiv, Odessa, and Lviv came under attack, with people rushing to shelters. Many remain without power. Ukraine's military said 69 missiles were launched from air and sea, but that air defenses intercepted 54 of them.
The BBC's Hugo Bushega in Kyiv. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. You're not alone if you're turning to a food pantry for help for the first time. Since this time last year, the cost of food has gone up 12.4% according to the Consumer Price Index. WPR reporting food pantries across Wisconsin and the country are seeing a steady increase in clients. The price increase is also hitting the pantries themselves. It now costs them more to buy the food they distribute. A Southwest Airlines flight having mechanical issues landed safely at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport Wednesday afternoon. This just the latest of Southwest problems since last week's winter storm. 32 flights were canceled yesterday, and a huge pile of luggage remained stacked up at the baggage claim, either waiting to be claimed or sent on to a final destination. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why do I worry at all? 'Cause I can feel that.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in. Listen to it as a podcast later if you missed any part of today's show. It's good background noise.
It really is.
I think so.
And look at all the things you can learn.
That's what I have a lot of people tell us. I learn a lot.
So do I.
I mean, I feel like there's certain people on these stations that we air on across the Civic Media Network, Jim Santel being one of them. We just heard his commercial for Morning Cannolis on Saturdays.
He was in with us.
We've interviewed him. He helped. He helps break down some of the Supreme Court stuff for us. That is a man who I think has a lot of knowledge in his brain.
Absolutely. So many of our colleagues here.
I have to research everything before I talk about it on the show.
He's a little older than you.
But, you know, I learned so much in the preparation of bringing interesting topics to the show every day. And it's largely just following what I find interesting. And hopefully, if you're listening to the show, you also find it interesting, because that is the goal. Entertain educate.
Couple laughs.
And yeah, I think we've done a pretty good job.
And, you know, and world peace.
And world peace, yeah. Yes, that's true. At least Wisconsin peace.
There you go.
And it's evolving. I think there's probably some more things that will change in going into next year, having the bigger, better structure for the show and having kind of knowing the first hour is going to be news and the second hour is going to be a little bit more deep dives into policy, civics, science, having experts on to explain things to us, and then still waiting for the right branding, but the fun hour, human interest hour, being the third hour.
Could be an early happy hour.
It's a very early happy hour.
Well, that's what we'll call it, the VEH.
Very, very early.
Early happy
it's
hour.
It's 5 o'clock summer hour. but yeah, and so I am certainly looking forward to 2023, but I found this, and I'm sure this is a lot of people are probably doing this because it's so
grim.
It's kind of like the Farmer's Almanac, where like, oh, it's kind of kitschy and fun just to think about what their predictions are. It could be totally off, and they miss the mark. But when they get it right with their, you know, old witchy
caterpillar predictions,
yeah, like how they come across things. It's like, oh, that was kind of fun. I mean, so far, because I made a video about this, the Farmer's Almanac prediction for our winter this year was that we were going to have a really rough winter. And if last week was any indication that that's how it's starting, they may be right this year.
Do you know what I thought when I walked out the door this morning?
When it was like 48 degrees?
Yes. And it was actually, it was sunny at that point when I was coming in. The first, because you know who I am. The first thing I thought of was, oh, we are so going to pay for this.
This like hope, this little like strand of hope
absolutely.
That we have.
It's
like, oh, like it was just a week. It's fine.
This is Mother Nature going, ha, sure. Think it's going to be like this for the rest of the winter. Give it 2 weeks. Whap.
All right. Well, I want to at least touch on this and then I'll get into some of the things I'm looking forward to in the news for next year. But just to remind you of how bad it could get. So what did Nostradamus think? Predict that was going to happen in 2023.
He was great at parties.
So he was, for a reminder, a 16th century astrologer, plague doctor.
Oh, fun.
He was an accused heretic at one point, and a bearded seer, he's been called. And he's been credited for foretelling the Great Fire of London, Hitler's rise to power, September 11th, and the COVID pandemic. This was like, and he's in the 16th century. So he made all these predictions.
In the 1500s.
Yes. And his predictions tend to lean towards catastrophe.
Yeah, it's rarely, everybody's going to be really happy.
But to be fair, his predictions for 2022, which we're out obviously now ending, was the rise of AI, the concurring power of cryptocurrency, and the surge of cannibalism as a response to inflation.
Excuse me.
So if you think about it, as compared to what actually happened this year, Bitcoin has gone bust. Inflation remains high, even though it's declining a little bit. But, you know, Dahmer was a hit. So there's a little something there. But the cannibalism.
That didn't happen this year.
This movie happened this year.
Oh, okay.
The hit
so
movie.
We're expanding.
I think it's a loose.
To help. We're working on behalf of Nostradamus at this point.
It's a loose interpretation.
Yeah.
This guy break. This was 500 years ago or something, 600 years ago. All right. So I'm just going to read this. This is from, I first got sent this from New York Post, which, you know. Salacious.
Bastion of journalistic excellence.
Yes. So what are his predictions for 2023? Global warming and lots of dead fish. That feels like a fair prediction at this point.
And that's happening, unfortunately, already.
And so this is the fun passage. Quote, like the sun, the head shall sear the shining sea. The Black Sea's living fish shall all but boil.
Oh,
and certain fish are definitely facing extinction. And so
our seas are not doing well.
Celia's not doing well. So this could be one that we come back and be like, well, he was right.
Kind of right about that.
The next one. He predicted that celestial fire on the royal edifice. So taken literally, this could mean a meteor is headed straight for Buckingham Palace.
Okay.
And burning down the house. Or it could mean something more metaphorical. Maybe there's going to be more Prince Harry and Meghan Markle drama. Maybe there'll be more drama in other parts of the royal family. But
why is it only the English royal family, though? There's still other royals. The Swedes have royals.
Wouldn't you say that the England's royal monarchy is still the most famous?
It's certainly the most prominent, but there are still monarchies in other countries.
That's true.
So maybe the meteor is heading towards Sweden.
It's heading towards a different castle.
Could be.
This is World War III.
Oh, great.
The world will be embroiled in 7 months great war, people dead through evil. Jeez, this is so dark. I think there are other people who are also predicting that we're saying that Congressman Mike Gallagher already is saying that we're in a cold war. Obviously, things with Ukraine and Russia could escalate at any given point.
China could make moves on Taiwan.
Yeah. And so not out of the realm of possibility.
Although, unfortunately not.
We don't want it. We do not want that to happen. And then the last one, the Antichrist is coming.
Oh! Isn't he late?
Probably. Maybe he's already among us for all we know.
I feel like this prediction, he needs a watch because he's like way behind.
So the quote is, the Antichrist very soon annihilates the three. 27 years his war will last.
Again, Nostro, so much fun to have at parties. You always wanted to hang with Nostradamus. It was a million laughs.
It's one of those things that's, it's kind of like the Almanac. No, if you say enough stuff, some of it's going to be true.
Well,
right?
Exactly.
Especially if you say it in such a veiled way up for interpretation.
It's like it's like reading your horoscope.
Like, that applies to me. That's totally
of course. That totally makes sense.
Well, then I guess some of the things I don't have any predictions. I'm not in the prediction business. I am not a futurist, whatever that actually means. Some people refer to themselves as futurists.
Okay.
I am not. But I think certainly one of the big stories will be the unfolding of the 2024 presidential election. Does DeSantis get in? Does Trump end up actually running? Does that become an unraveling of the Republican Party because Trump's going to Trump?
And if he doesn't get the nomination, that could really stir things up.
Well, because I think, God, it's how much attention, collective world attention goes towards this man is unreal. But yeah, because I think that is a real possibility of, well, we won't know who gets the nomination until 2024, but as far as who gets into the race, but the potential of Trump running, Teflon Don not actually getting charged or convicted with anything, despite all the January 6th hearings and the report that just came out and all the other, you know, lawsuits and investigations he's under. Let's say he still actually runs. Let's say he doesn't get the nomination, runs as an independent, 4 more years of Joe. You know, it's just like it's the this is why politics is fascinating, because it is, if it wasn't so consequential to people's lives, it really is like a soap opera.
It would be a lot more fun.
But I think statewide, there's going to be big things. Obviously, we've already talked about and will continue to talk a lot about the Supreme Court election.
It's huge.
And I don't think it can be overstated how consequential this election will be. And it will be interesting to see what voter turnout for that will be. I would be surprised if we get 3 million people vote like they did in the fall, which there's probably, I think I have it bookmarked as a potential topic of the arguments for and against separating nonpartisan and partisan races and having these spring elections versus just doing everything once a year in the fall. But that's another topic for another day, but hopefully we will get the candidates on the show. Hopefully we'll get other legal experts to explain what the difference is between someone who sits on a state Supreme Court versus, you know, is a regular judge. What are the different kind of cases? What do they see? How do you make a decision based on, because if all four candidates get their signatures in, that's a competitive primary.
Definitely.
And so the primary will be in February, the general will be in April, but that will have huge implications for the direction of our state, both with obvious things like potential redistricting, like maybe we wouldn't have to be stuck with these maps for 10 years. The Roe versus Wade 1849 criminal abortion ban lawsuit could end up in the state Supreme Court. Variety of other things.
Election issues.
There's a lot of different stuff that they ends up getting put to them to make decisions on. And it's really important who sits there. I think the next one, which we'll probably be talking about as much as we're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court, is the state budget and how much compromise actually happens versus how much doesn't, because we're sitting on a record surplus that could go to a variety of different things. And will they or won't they be able to actually come to any kind of an agreement on how to spend that money to help the most amount of people? So that's something we'll be watching. More regionally, what happens with Milwaukee city and county budget as they just like narrowly spared cutting fire and library services for this year, but unless something changes,
there's a cliff coming.
There's a lot of people who could be in trouble if we don't figure that out. And again, have some sort of compromise. So certainly be watching that. And I think, what else am I looking forward to? Is there anything you're looking forward to? Or is anything you like story, you know, is going to happen that you feel like?
I would really just like to see our legislature actually, as you said, do something on behalf of their constituents, all their constituents.
Mm-hmm.
And I was heartened by talking to Susan Yackey a little bit earlier in the show after they had these kind of bipartisan meetings with people from all over the state that, again, most Wisconsinites aren't nuts.
Yes.
And I find that reassuring. And hopefully we can sit together and talk about not nuts things and get things done.
I agree. My one prediction I'm going to make, which is pretty bold and maybe not the right one considering we've lost a couple games, but I think the Bucks are going to come back and we're going to win another championship.
That would be so great.
Giannis is really good this year.
He is. He's always really good.
He's always really good, but I think I'm going to channel my best Dan Schaefer. As far as Bucks and Six, we're doing it again this year, and it's going to be the highlight of the year again.
That would just be a wonderful thing. It really would.
Or who knows? Maybe the Packers will actually defy all odds and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath on that one.
I think there's one's more likely than the other, but either would be good. I'd take...
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care. Redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach.
That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 55 this afternoon under overcast skies with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. Winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 32. Overcast skies. Overcast skies again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 38. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love hearing from you. We have a whole year of content that we want to bring you. So if you have ideas for a topic or a guest or feedback, you can email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. But this is our last segment of 2022. And what better way to end the year than a feel-good story from a local Wisconsin rescue and rehabilitation animal shelter. I don't know if that's exactly, but Silver Lining Rescue and Rehabilitation typically takes one to two animals at a time. But when our guest, Jennifer Phillips, heard about an unhealthy living situation, she decided to take 47 exotic pets into her home on just a few days' notice. So that was just this month, right, Jennifer?
Yes. It was on the 21st of December.
So how's it going?
It was just before Christmas. It's busy. It's chaotic, but it's good. It's really nice, and most of the animals that came in, they're doing well. We're working on continuing pregnancy watch on a few of the species that we do have. So
what?
It's been fun.
When we say exotic or species, you know, because so often when we think of rescue shelters and in organizations, we think of cats, we think of dogs, sometimes maybe other, maybe horses. But what kind of animals are you housing right now?
We took in a ferret, we took in chinchillas, hedgehogs, rabbits, a ton of guinea pigs. We have birds. It's been a wide range of animals.
So for some of the ferret, guinea pig, though, that range, do they eat the same kind of food, or are you buying all different types of food that are specific for each species?
Each species has their own food.
Oh, gosh.
They have different diet requirements, yeah. And a lot of them were a new species for Silver Lining. The hedgehogs, the ferret, the chinchillas. We didn't have all the stuff for those yet. We did have the bunnies and the guinea pigs and the birds. But we had to go out and prepare and get all the essentials that they need. And not only do they need the pellets, but some of them have other requirements, like the hedgehogs need insects, fresh vegetables, fruits, all sorts of stuff.
So you have to buy hedgehog chow and ferret chow and guinea pig chow, and then supplement that with insects and veggies. And Jennifer, how did you develop your affinity for, let's admit it, I mean, these are odder pets, more unusual pets.
I think that's the reason why, is because there are so many humane societies out there that are designated towards cats and dogs. You know, there's plenty of resources out there for the common domestic animals. What I was seeing was very often on like Facebook and stuff, we would see all these posts about your unusual animals being found out into the wild. There's parakeets out there. There was hedgehogs being found, and people didn't have the resources or know where to turn to surrender their animals, and they were no longer able to care for them. So I just felt I needed to do something.
Absolutely. And so before you were taking a couple animals at a time, and so did all of the ones that you currently have come from one spot that was just a bad situation?
No, I usually was taking in a couple here and there. And we still have some of them. Some of them have been adopted out, but then the one that we took in where there was the 40 plus animals, that was all from one home.
Wow.
And that was a home in Milwaukee. They pulled over 100 animals from one home, and it ranged from having a goat and alligators and geese in the attic to them not even knowing that there was birds in the home because they had to remove so much debris and it was filthy living conditions. The ferret that I have, he's so skinny because he was eating his own feces, and some of the cages there was just animals already deceased and not taking care of. It was bad.
That's really bad. And so now you are rehabilitating, housing these critters, but I'm assuming that you're looking for homes for them?
Yep. We've already found homes for two of the hedgehogs, several of the guinea pigs, half of the hamsters, two of the birds. So, we're working on it. We have plenty to go.
Yeah, I was going to say, so if people are interested in potentially having a different kind of pet, where can they find what's available?
If you go on to Facebook, we have a group, Silver Lining Rescue and Rehabilitation. We have a page and a group. If you go to the page, we're constantly updating what we have available on there. You can also message us and ask. And we have their glamour shots and stuff already with their information on it. We can send that to you, and we try to keep that fairly up to date. We're working on a website right now.
I am absolutely going to check it out just to see glamour shots of hedgehogs because they are so cute. They really are adorable critters.
They really are. And the chinchillas, oh man, they're so cute.
All right. Well, Jennifer Phillips, you've definitely done your good deed, not only just for this year, but I would say for many lifetimes. And so if you are interested in checking out what's available or helping to support their operation, you can check out the Silver Lining Rescue and Rehabilitation Facebook page. They also have a PayPal and an Amazon wish list. We will link all of that to our podcast blog for today if you would want to check that out. But Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you for having me, and it's a pleasure. Without my community support, I wouldn't be able to do what I do.
Absolutely. All right. Well, have a happy new year. And for us, that just about does it. It's a goodbye to 2022. We'll see you in 2023. We'll have a best of show tomorrow and a best of show on Saturday. But stick around for today for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, or the Chad Holmes Show up on WXCO in Wausau. But Jane, have a very happy New Year's Eve. I hope you make it to midnight.
Oh, me too.
All right. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Thanks for listening.
Ain't you cool? Do you remember when, and would you like to get together again? She said, I see you after school. I was shy so far. Something just slipped out of dress, she said.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.